The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Fight for freedom,
freedom and the soul of the USA.
Right here, right now, it's Independence Day. Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us.
Oh, forget it. We've got no leaders who lead us. They lead us right back into the swamp. Good evening. Sorry to be just a bit late. We had major computer problems with my connection unit. Jeff Bennett here, second hour of the National Intel Report. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, better known as Protecting Your Wealth. Does anybody have any wealth left anymore? I'm beginning to be convinced that we never came out of the recession of 10 years ago. I don't think people did. You know, or they're spending it on, you know, overpriced opioids or prophylactics, not the local drugstore. I realize that sounds a little guttural, people, but come on, wake up. This is nuts. Hey, quick food for thought. We have just gone through the biggest two-week decline in the S&P 500 momentum indicator since 1928. You remember what happened in 29, don't you? Oh, yeah, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, they cleaned up. We took a bath. It took us until 1955 to come out of it. Well, not totally. We came out of the Depression on December the 7th, 1941. You remember that day, the day that Roosevelt knew that the Japanese were coming to take us out at Pearl Harbor. But the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial, did not recover from its high of May of 1929 until March or April of 1955. Now think about that. Are you prepared to wait that long for recovery? You'll be dead. Your family might benefit. Why is all this? Because we as a nation, my friends, are drowning in debt. In Hamlet, Shakespeare penned one of the most familiar lines and best advice ever written. Before Laertes leaves for Paris, his father, Polonius, tells him, "Neither a borrower nor a lender be." We as individuals and we as a nation have ignored that advice for far too long, which is why the U.S. national debt is $20 trillion and higher, and far more to come, thanks to, are you ready, the Republican Congress, which has now passed a two-year spending bill that calls for $300 billion in new spending and removes the cap supplied by the Budget Control Act of 2011. And all this has been sold to the public with the highest and purest of motives. Oh, we need to support our brave men and women in uniform, repair our roads and bridges. And I'm going to go choke both those dogs if they don't cut the caca out tonight. It's terrible. It was reported days ago, actually quite some time ago, that an audit recently revealed a Defense Department agency cannot account for $800 million, which had been targeted for building projects. Worse than that, if that is possible, the Defense Logistics Agency has no paper trail and can't tell the auditors where the money went. And Congress? They just want to give them more. Who sang that song? Jump in, give them more, 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 jump in, da-da-da-da. I don't remember who sang it. Doesn't make a lot of difference. But that's all any of them want, is more. Of course, as for infrastructure, let's not just pick on the Republicans. Wasn't the Obama stimulus, otherwise known as the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of '09, wasn't that supposed to have fixed roads and bridges? More like a down payment, because government never has enough of our money. Senator Rand Paul last week spoke the truth when he held up passage of the budget bill. As reported by the New York Times, Paul said, "I want people to feel uncomfortable. I want them to have to answer to people at home who said, how come you were against Obama's deficits? And then how come you are for the Republican deficits?" Paul was the only Republican senator to vote against the measure, which is expected to increase the debt to $30 trillion over the next decade, when probably all of those in the Senate will be dead or gone, praise Jesus, and won't have to take responsibility for it. In addition to providing more money for the military, some Republic rats are claiming with a straight face that this massive new spending is needed to finish the repeal of Obamacare. How much money does it take to repeal it? You repeal it, period, done. Doesn't cost a dime. But because nobody can seriously believe all of that, especially with all the additional pork that is undoubtedly added on to the bill in order to gain bipartisan support. So if it's bipartisan, it must be good, right? Spending may be the last bipartisan act in Washington. Of course, Trump says if there were more Republicans in Congress, the new spending and increased debt would not have happened. Maybe. Helpful to remind these free-spending Republic rats what our founders warned about the dangers of debt. James Madison said, "Debts and taxes are the known instrument for bringing the many under the domination of the few, and I go on the principle that a public debt is a public curse." Then Thomas Jefferson came out. He spoke to the dangers of a government drunk on out-of-control spending that leads to increasing the debt. And to preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. Jefferson concluded by saying, "We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude." Well, I think that most people don't realize that they seem to think they're voting for economy. They think they're voting for liberty. No, they're voting for servitude. We all be slaves now, baby. Of course, among the reasons empires and great nations have collapsed throughout history is public debt. And seeking to pacify the masses by never saying no to anything, politicians mortgage the future while preserving their current careers. Oh, maybe America should change its initials from USA to ATM. And to invoke singer-songwriter Don McLean in a different context and applying it to modern politicians, they would not listen. They're not listening still. Perhaps they never will. Good evening. Glad to have you here. Yeah, watching the markets the last week and a half to 2 weeks has been more than just a little bit interesting. We're down 1,000. We're down 11. We're down 666. We're up 400. We're up to down. I mean, this is a real yo-yo. I haven't had a yo-yo since I was a kid, or maybe since my kids were kids. Up and down, up and down. Dow Jones Industrial closed up today a whopping 39 points to end their session at 24,640. Still down a couple of thousand points from where they were, aren't they? S&P 500 up 7 points to close at 2663. NASDAQ up 31.5 at 7013. The global Dow is off another point. Gold up a bit. Oil. Oh, this morning oil was down. Tonight it's up a whole whopping nickel. There's a whistleblower in Wall Street saying that there's a fear gauge and it's being rigged. Oh, yeah. Oh, you remember the DACA thing? This is the big thing in the whole Trump administration. The second federal judge has now come out and ordered a temporarily restoration of DACA, telling the Trump administration that they cannot pull the plug on DACA and send all these poor little kids home. Aww. And there's a funds manager out there that says, better keep cash on the sidelines because another big hit is coming. Oh, yeah. S&P 500. Now, what did I tell you? S&P 500 right now is at 2662. Headline says it could fall below 2500 if the 10-year Treasury yield crosses 3%. Stock market ends higher ahead of the key inflation report. And the Treasury Secretary's wife says she admires him because he understands the economy. No, he understands what her financial needs are. She's a high-maintenance BIT, folks. Oh, yes. Absolutely nuts. Uh-oh. Now I know we're in financial trouble. Single Americans are hurting economically this Valentine's Day. Oh, yes, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, boys. You better hit the rose. You better go buy some roses at Walmart late tonight while you can still get some. Huh? Would you do that? I think you should. What else is going on here? Let's get some final market reports for you, and let's move on. I have an interesting sets of commentary to share with you tonight. And Martin, I hope you're out there. It's been a crazy day. I haven't been able to make it to the library as often as I would like to have today. So we've got something interesting we're going to put on the air later during this hour. Rhodium flat at $1,660 an ounce. Palladium up a whopping $2 at $978. Platinum up $3 at $975. You know what? Platinum's still down about, what, 29 or 30 bucks from where it was 2 weeks ago? They just hammered it right back down again. Silver's up 4 cents in the aftermarket, currently rolling at about 1663 to 1665 area. Gold up 320 in the aftermarket, which is a different, you know, Hong Kong market, $1,332.50. an ounce. It's holding. That ain't bad. It ain't bad, folks. It's at least holding. It's been unusual. One of the greatest lines in a film that I ever saw. Number one, it was a pretty darn good film. It was a real surprise. But the line that had the greatest importance, I think, tells us so much about what we face in this nation and around the world today economically. I see dead people walking around like regular people. They don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know that they're dead. Cole Sear, The Sixth Sense. And the honesty and integrity of all this is people love the sentimentality of their beliefs, the traditions and tribalism and forms of a self-conception, the good feeling that they get from believing that they are better than and different from the great body of mankind. Our religions do this. Even atheists and political parties and schools of economics and philosophy do this, since theirs constitutes a belief as well. Oh, we can be so wonderfully profane. But when it comes to applying these higher principles of belief in their daily lives, most people are highly selective and in general want nothing to do with them except as it is convenient and serves their purposes without sacrifice. For many, religious faith is at most a moderate restraint on their willfulness, and so they become spiritually dead, dried husks of souls that have slowly starved the love from their hearts. And these are among the most difficult to persuade, because everything that comes to them is turned into a justification of their own wicked, lifeless souls. They view themselves as superior, and therefore victims of their inferiors. They cling to their hypocrisy like a drowning man might cling to an anchor, right down to the depths of the abyss. And in these days of increasing wickedness, my friend, this is most of us. Oh, yes, misery loves company, after all, even if it is only to have someone else to despise, someone lower on the ladder to kick in the face. Oh, stocks were plunging again last Friday when the Dow Industrials finished down over 1,000 points and the S&P 500 was down over 100. Index futures went out on the lows, but were rebounding a little bit after hours. The dollar was largely unchanged. Gold and silver was up just a bit. Gold and silver, interesting to say the least. They seem to be coiling. The gold registered for delivery has fallen quite a bit again on the COMEX. Silver remains an almost cornered supply, with one large bank dominating identified physical supply. And as to the character and the efficacy, the quality of that supply, who really knows but them? Do you care to chase down the truth on that one? Do you not know that to whom you give yourselves as servants, his servants you become, whether of a corruption unto death or of a righteousness unto life? Romans 6:16. You see, most of the pundits continue to urge the public to stay fully invested. Oh, yes, they're selling their newsletters. They're just whipping people up into a frenzy. Stay in there. You'll lose all the gains if you pull out now. But maybe that's just some passing phase, a healthy correction in a still vibrant bull market, they tell their followers. Americans, my friends, are not immune to the pressure of living under a lie created by their elites. U.S. life expectancy has had an alarming drop. The primary causes are drugs, alcohol, and suicide. How the mighty have fallen and broken their instruments of oppression. Jesse, February 11th. It is interesting to watch the flow. I must share with you, this is 2018. Professionally, I have been in the precious metals business for some 28 years. I will be 70 years of age in 13 more days. I began buying silver at the age of 10, gold at the age of 12. And in all those years between 1958 and 1990, I never, that 32 years, I never had any clue that I could actually make a living by helping people acquire specie, a product that will always maintain a degree of purchasing power and value. It's important. Keep it all in paper. Paper goes poof. Gone with the wind. You put $10,000 in paper money and $20 bills under your mattress just to hide it. And $10,000 in gold and your house burns down, the paper is poof. Gone the way of Tara. But the gold, it changes shape. The base value, however, is still there. Yes. How are the mighty fallen and broken their instruments of oppression? I sometimes believe that traders at the New York Fed have speed dials to Wall Street's biggest firms. There are more and more rumors coming out that the U.S. Fed is propping up the stock market. Somebody is. What is meant by institutional investor anyway? What the hell does that mean? Think about it. It's insanity. Institutional investor. I mean, it's not every day that three well-credentialed men are willing to put their names and reputations behind the allegation that the U.S. Fed is rigging the stock market. But that is exactly what happened yesterday. Paul Craig Roberts, a man who I've quoted and read often over the years, a former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal and assistant secretary of the U.S. Treasury under President Reagan, joined with economist Michael Hudson and Wall Street veteran Dave Kranzler to write that, quote, it appears that in May of 2010, August of 15, January, February of 16, and currently in February of 2018, the Fed is rigging the stock market by purchasing S&P equity index futures in order to arrest the stock market declines, end of quote. Well, of course, they're all members of the Plumbers, the Plunge Protection Group. And it's not the first time the Fed's come under suspicion. In 2013, Time Magazine's Dan Cadillac wrote the following about the unprecedented number of central banks that were moving into stock purchases. Cadillac said, the U.S. Federal Reserve does not appear to have joined in the stock buying trend. The Fed is not permitted to make direct stock purchases, but there is nothing to prevent it from funding a special purpose vehicle that buys a broad basket of stocks through indexes or exchange-traded funds, that's ETFs. In the last year, this is 2013, remember, Wall Streeters have speculated the Fed would buy stocks as part of its quantitative easing programs to stimulate the economy, end of quote. Well, more suspicions were raised on May 23rd of last year, 2017, when long-tenured New York Post financial writer John Crudele suggested that the heavy purchases of stocks by the Swiss Central Bank could be as an agent of U.S. financial authorities who fear that a big decline in stock prices would be against America's national interests, whatever the hell that is. And according to the latest official annual report of the Swiss Central Bank, It held $140 billion in stocks as of December 31st, 2016. That was a 30% increase over 2015. And it was reported on August 25th of last year that the Swiss Central Bank had a very large appetite for big U.S. tech stocks. Pam and Russ Martin had written back then that since June 30th of last year, Switzerland's central bank, the Swiss National Bank, has increased its stock holdings of five U.S. social media tech stocks from $5.3 billion to $9.3 billion. That is an increase of 77% in 12 months. And those stocks included Apple, Alphabet, that's the parent of Google. Bet you didn't know that, did you? Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook. The stock information comes from a 13F filing the Swiss National Bank made this month. That's August of last year. With the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, a quarterly form required of institutional investment managers who manage $100 million or more. Well, Apple and Microsoft are two of the component stocks of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, a popular index used to gauge market strength. Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook are all components of the NASDAQ 100 index, another closely watched indicator of stock market strength. But why single out the Swiss Central Bank? According to a research report released last week by BNY Mellon, that's Bank of New York Mellon, very, very old banking family in this country. Isn't Mellon, one of the Mellons, married to, Chelsea Clinton, I think. In collaboration with the University of Cambridge's Judge Business School, 39% of central banks surveyed are now investing in stocks. 72% reported use of derivatives as part of their investment management activities. Wow. It's likely that interest rate swaps are the more common derivatives being used by central banks. And yet the S&P 500 futures contracts, they're also derivatives. They would be the most efficient means of propping up stock prices or leveraging a directional bet in stocks. And another central bank closely aligned with the U.S. that is loading up on stocks is the Bank of Israel. Stanley Fisher Steen, who recently served as vice chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve under Janet Yellen Steen, was governor of Israel's central bank from 2005 to 2013. Is this a surprise? He holds dual citizenship. So by February of 16, Haaretz reported that the Israel Central Bank had increased its stock purchases to 10% of reserves, or somewhere around 9 billion big ones. That was up from 8% in 2014 and 3% when the central bank first began purchasing stocks in 2012. And the largest representation in its global stock portfolio was its good friend in North America, the United States, and its stocks. There's a lot of fundamental reasons to distrust central banks meddling in what we are supposed to be, you know, so-called free markets, right? For one thing, U.S. securities laws and regulators are not set up to police central banks. Why would they? They're all in the dirt together. And yet, more importantly, with the power to create money out of thin air, what is to stop central banks from effectively becoming the stock market, killing off its very reason for existing as a reliable pricing mechanism? Wow, when we come back, we're going to rock and roll with some more of this. We got something kind of cool in the books for you tonight, too. Stick around. Captain Morgana will show up soon.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Some people say I'm a no-count, others say I'm no good, but I'm just a natural-born traveling man,
doing what I think I should.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy,
doing what I think I should.
What do you mean no audio for me? Don't tell me there's no audio.
Spend it fast as I can.
Have we got it?
Or a wailing song.
What? You got audio now? Okay, scared the living daylights out of me. That would have made absolutely no sense. Whew! This is a strange day, man. Oh, that's an old message. Okay, well, they're just popping around. Conclude our previous commentary. Consider this, my friends. Just as the Central Bank of Japan has boosted its stock market with a $50 billion a year stock purchase program, and Switzerland and Israel keep ratcheting up the percentage of reserves they're committing to stocks, the central banks may have doomed themselves and the stock market by failing to address the most crucial part of the strategy, an exit plan. Do you have one? I'm shocked at the number of people that don't have an exit plan. Let me tell you something, folks. For those of you, and I'm sorry to sound a little rude here, but sometimes I have to do that to get you to kind of wake up and understand. If you had an exit plan the first time around, you may not have gotten a girlfriend in a strange situation once many years ago. You had an entry plan, but no exit plan. This is a huge problem. And because of it, something wicked this way comes. Simon Weil once stated, imaginary evil is romantic and varied. Real evil is gloomy, monotonous, barren, boring. Oh, imaginary good is boring. Real good is always new, man. It's marvelous. It's intoxicating. Everything beautiful has a mark of eternity. That's your entry plan. And yet, double, double toil and trouble. Fire burn and cauldron bubble. Cool it with a baboon's blood. Then charm is firm and good. By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. William Shakespeare, Macbeth. Also from Shakespeare, in The Tempest, hell is empty, and all the devils are here. Stocks over the last couple of days have had some more wild days, ranging down to test the lows, then rally back to positive gains after the rest of the world had gone to bed for the week. I'm not so sure that we're done with all of this. The lack of conviction in the buying is palpable. And I'm not sure where this short-term correction will go. I did say it was coming as a reaction to a blow-off top. No matter what happens in the short term, I think that unless we get a cleansing of the system and some meaningful financial reform, that we will see something that will be remembered as a crash once again, as we had seen in 1997, '01, and again in '08. And once again, let's certainly not forget '29. Think about the numbers I shared with you earlier in the hour. In May of 1929, I don't have the figures directly in front of me, I apologize. I'm in the midst of packing a massive amount of files and folders and books and music and videos and God knows what else to do the attempt to get this place sold and get out of here and get a different home. You know what? I came to the conclusion today, if it's not meant to happen, it's not going to happen, and I really don't care anymore. Just get the extra dog out of here, and I love that dog. But the noise levels are getting excruciating. So May of 29, Dow Jones Industrial hit an all-time high. And then something began to happen. It traded up, it traded down, it went a little higher, it came a little lower, but it never reached that peak again. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a Black Tuesday in October of 1929, the market crashed. But it didn't just crash, it kept on going down. 1929. It did not recover until 1955. 26 years it took for the Dow Jones Industrial to fully recover. How much money had been lost, not just with the initial crash, because by this time, people were borrowing money to buy stocks. They were selling expensive Cadillacs and Lincolns. And they were selling Plymouths and DeSotos and Pontiacs, whatever kind of vehicle they had, just to be able to put food on their table. The lack of conviction in the buying is palpable. This next crash is likely to be often or be of an even greater magnitude, as each of the prior financial collapses have been. And I'm concerned that the next one is going to leave a tear in the social fabric and the balances in the global relations and economics. People will only take so damn much. And the reaction of the status quo will set the tone and the theme for where it goes from there. And how deeply gold and silver continue their somewhat stagnant sideways slide. each rally attempt being firmly pushed back down to what looks like a long trading range. And yet the physical inventories of gold offered for delivery in the COMEX warehouses is once again getting a bit on the lean side. But then how much of that physical inventory has already been leased out or loaned out anyway? And they can't get rid of it, or they can't sell it, they can't deliver it until something else has been settled. Or maybe they're delivering the same 1,000 and 10,000 and 100,000 ounces over and over and over again. Oh, Monday, dollar managed to rally just a little bit higher. Worked off its deeply oversold condition now, I guess. And yet this week, we'll be getting quite a bit of economic data. The PPI, the CPI, import, export prices. And all of this may tend to affect the markets in their recent epiphany about higher interest rates, or maybe it won't. Of course, the Congress critters, they never cease to amaze. After having recently slashed taxes for the wealthiest few, increased military spending while once again forbidding the government from negotiating cheaper prices with Big Pharma, the campaign has already started to cut Medicaid and Medicare in order to make up for the deficit. And you and I and so many of us that are here together this evening are on Medicare. Oh, these Congress jerks certainly are not shy about being hypocrites, not too lazy to steal from the weak and the disadvantaged, which is now most Americans. All these things are for the benefit of the powerful and the wealthy, whom it is that they serve. Might have been better if they'd never been born than to betray their oaths and sacred trusts. And we would spend an eternity with these? The weather is hard on all of God's creatures, but especially the least of these. Remember to care for those who are in need. Remember to care as much as we can about our veterans, and stop worrying about the crybabies that are members of the DACA group, and more DACA recipients are being found guilty of rape and murder and more. Yeah. It might help us to open our minds and our hearts, maybe making us, each and every one of us, into a more attractive and happier person, or maybe just less miserable. Maybe in the end it'll save our respective lives. For you see, until we look with pity and love on the unfortunate, we cannot see God, who comes to us quietly in order to save us through the overlooked and the despised. And so the worldly and the proud do not see him, and they're consumed by themselves or the almighty buck. Hey, you can't take it with you. But then they may not allow us to take it with us. They may have other things in mind for the almighty buck. Need little? Want even less? In the words of my good friend Jeff Gusfield, love more. And my friends, Jeff has been probably my best friend since we met at the age of 12. Lived four blocks away from one of my great grandmothers in Highland Park, Illinois. Oh, did I mention Jeff happens to be Jewish? His parents used to call us the two Jeffs. I was the older brother. I was 2 months older than he was. We still call each other number one and number two. Nomi Prinz, writing in Collusion, How the Central Bankers Rigged the World, stated that the 2008 financial crisis unleashed a chain reaction that turbo-boosted the influence of central bankers and triggered a massive shift in the world order. Central banks and institutions like the IMF were overstepping the bounds of their mandates, directing the flow of money with no checks and balances. And meanwhile, the open door between private and central banking ensured endless manipulation against a backdrop of government support. Now, that's the short of it, and that's pretty hard-hitting. But this quote that I share with you is from a speech that was actually made. And it's recorded in the original minutes of the Philadelphia bankers' meeting with President Andrew Jackson in February of 1834. Gentlemen, I too have been a close observer of the doings of the Bank of the United States. I have had men watching you for a long time and am convinced that you have used the funds of the bank to speculate in the breadstuffs of the country. When you won, you divided the profits among yourselves, and when you lost, you charged it to the bank. You tell me that if I take the deposit from the bank and annul its charter, that I shall ruin 10,000 families? That may be true, gentlemen, but that is your sin. Should I let you go on, you will ruin 50,000 families, and that would be my sin. You're a den of vipers and thieves, and I have determined to rout you out, and by the eternal, I will rout you out. And he was banging his fist on the table when he made that statement. According to the spokes models, they're telling us the correction over and everyone is back into buying. Maybe so, but the market remains poorly founded and funded, vulnerable to even a relatively mild external shock. When any market is the poorly regulated and overfed on hot money, one might well expect higher volatility and swings. And so we will see how the CPI number comes in later this week. Oh, and don't ignore the low rumbling boil coming out of the Middle East. Oh, no. The dollar has given back some of its recent gains, falling from overhead resistance back down to the 90 area from 90.33. Gold and silver up a bit. Stocks of physical gold available for immediate delivery still remain low. The huge infrastructure proposal was the usual thinly designed farce we have come to expect from a Congress and White House with their noses firmly buried in the swamp of their big donors. And that's with a D, not a B. But what's the difference at that point? How many of you listening tonight are deeply embedded in all that Wall Street has to offer? I have clients who, and friends who happen not to be clients, who are day traders. Because they've now reached the point that they are literally scared to death. They are scared to death to just sit back and wait for Maria Bartolomo and some of the others to come on television late at night, give the financial news and find out that they've been wiped out. Maybe you've got an account with a margin call. You know what that means. I want to control 10,000 ounces of silver, and all I got to do is put up $1,000. Whoa! Silver falls in a certain level, and they call you up saying, you got an hour to get the money wired into us. And then it keeps going down. You got another hour. You think that doesn't happen in stocks and bonds and things of that nature? You're damn right it does. How much money have people lost in Bitcoin over the last few weeks? My God, Bitcoin reached an all-time high of 17,000 plus, and I could be wrong because figures are bouncing all over the place. Last I saw, it's in the $6,000 to $8,000 range. Maybe it's approaching 9,000 again. If somebody took all they had in liquid assets was $20,000, and they got suckered into finally buying Bitcoin at $12,000 or $14,000, and it went to $17,000. They got to be wetting their pants because they're just cleaning up. And then it drops down to $6,000. There's nothing special about Bitcoin with those kind of gains and losses. It's happened in every paper market out there ever since the beginning of time. It's getting somebody to buy gold at $40, $42, $45 an ounce just hours before it hits $50. That's easy. Silver's gone from 16 to 50, and the higher the price gets, the easier it is to find a sucker. Hey, sorry to be so blunt, but they don't buy it at 11 and 12 and 13 and 16 and 20. Oh, no, they wait until it keeps. Now I'm convinced, honey, we got to get in on this stuff. Are you out of your mind? Or maybe you just don't have any assets left to work with. Maybe you no longer believe in precious metals. Maybe you're looking at gold and silver for the wrong reasons. You're looking at buying at $16 to $20 an ounce and praying to God it'll hit $50 or $75 or $100 an ounce. And, oh, baby, we're going to sell out and clean up. Except in most instances, your precious metals won't buy any more goods than they did when it was at $12 or $14 or $16 an ounce. Eh, with silver, it probably will. Gold, no. Gold, as a general rule, sets the tone. It's the only viable long-term. It's the old saying, you buy gold to hold, you buy silver to sell. Remember, gold is your savings account. It's your future. It's your provider when that time comes, when it's needed. Silver is what you buy to spend. I had a long talk with Martin yesterday. And as much as he'd like to get gold, he said, I can't buy a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk with it. I'll also tell you, Martin's 84 years of age. I'll also tell you, he's not French. And that's a private joke between he and I. But we had a marvelous discussion about nutrition and about poisons that are going into all of our foods. But we also had to talk about gold and silver. He and his wife own some gold. He wants to add to his silver holdings. So I'm going to share something with you tonight. Since we've gotten together last, I have ceased to do business with one of the suppliers that I've been dealing with since 1990. My representative broker, who I've been dealing with for over a quarter of a century, has left the firm for reasons that I'm not going to bore you with, other than to say that there was some serious questions about the way the business was being conducted. Fortunately, my guy took care of us, got us quality goods out there. I had a long talk with him at home yesterday. I will not do business with that firm any longer, because I know exactly what's being done and I don't like it. So I'm leaning back on some of my other suppliers right now. I have a local company I do small transactions with, quarter ounce silver pieces. I've got a gentleman right now that wants a couple of tenth and quarter ounce gold pieces. That's where I go for stuff like that, is my local guy. I'm a silver lover. Always have been. But damn, it gets heavy and takes up a lot of weight. Silver Eagles have been in a real strange marketing position for the last 3-4 months. There seems to be plenty of them out there. Still one of the most popular ways to buy silver. I've shared with you, I'm not a big lover of what they call junk silver, the dimes, quarters, and half dollars. Times have changed. This is not the late 70s when people still understood the value of an old 90% silver dime, quarter, or half dollar. And most of the time, you'll hear me on the air saying, I love 1-ounce silver rounds. They'll cost us less money than buying an American Eagle, even though the raw product or the semi-completed product comes from the same company that provides us the metal and the discs to strike the American Eagle. But there's several reasons why the American Eagle, the 1-ounce American Eagle silver bullion coin is amongst the most popular in the world. There ain't no change to it. There's no change in efficacy. The quality is superb, and it is a full ounce. Now, if you were to come to me today, I've got something called the 260 American Eagle package we're going to offer. I've only got a couple of minutes to do it, so hold on tunes as long as you can, Michael. I got started a little bit late. It's called the 260 American Eagle package for a reason. 260 one-ounce American Silver Eagles. That's just a little bit over a half of a box. 500 come in a box. There's a reason I'm landing on this. I can save you a little bit of money by getting into rounds. Maple Leafs, we got some problems. They're too pure. They're too soft. They mark too easily. I'm not against them. I love them. But I'm American. Give me the American product for a change. Normally, if you came to me to buy the 260 package, you're looking at about $5,160. Small delivery fee because we're not buying a full box. But tonight, maybe still in the morning, based on where spot is right now within 1 or 2 cents, I can get you the same exact package for $4,979. There's still a $25 shipping and handling fee on that. Payment by direct deposit into our account or bank wire, which unfortunately then I have to assess you some fees of $40 total. I get charged with an incoming wire, $15, $25 to resend it back out. I've got to pass that along. I cannot absorb it. Obviously, we can accept your personal check or a bank check via priority mail. That's more than acceptable. I bank with Chase. If you've got a Chase bank you can reach within 20 minutes, fine. If you got to drive 3 hours to get to a Chase bank, just priority mail me a check. The 260 American Eagle package. If you've got those kinds of funds to sit on, if you got those kind of funds just sitting in a coffee can under your bed waiting for the house to catch on fire, get yourself some silver. Get the American Eagle. Recognizable all over the world. Barterable, tradable, spendable. You need a bag of groceries. You need gasoline. You're going to find, you think some Ahmed pack rat from the Middle East who's running a 7-Eleven or a Circle K isn't going to accept 1 ounce silver pieces from you for gasoline? Oh, yes, and please get the slushies for the kids on the way out the door. You hear me say that a lot. It's my warped sense of humor. Does it offend you? Hope not. But maybe it'll make you smile. Maybe it'll wake you up. That's the reality. Call us at area code 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214. That is my cell. But if you call the other number, it's going to forward to the cell anyway. Let us know that you want the 260 American Eagle package. You want to shoot me an email? You can do so. gold@kettlemoraineprecious metals.com. You can get there by going through the link at republicbroadcasting.org. If you've got a Chrome, what do you call it, browser, you may have some problems getting through. Firefox seems to work okay. Got some issues going on with GoGoDaddy, and I got to get on the phone with them and raise a big stink. But you can shoot me an email, and we'll do what we have to do. Make sure I got your name, your shipping address. You tell me you want the package. I'll get it written up. I'll forward you back the payment information and the instructions. You'll be locked in, and you'll have silver shipping in just a couple of days. The American Eagle 260 package is an outstanding buy. We're saving you some extra money. We got to go. We're out of time. I will see you, Lord willing, on Thursday. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Don't take a slice of my
Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.